Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener. We encourage you at the end of this broadcast at 8 o'clock to turn your TVs on to Channel 6 on the public access on the Turner Broadcasting Network. We have a new TV program beginning this Lord's Day called Searching the Scriptures. It runs from 8 to 8:30 every Sunday morning. We hope that you'll watch and listen, and if you have any questions, feel free to contact us, and we hope that it will be helpful to you to understand the message of the Bible. We also encourage you to visit our website, churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We, at the end of this broadcast, be given the regular times of our meeting at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We encourage you to come to any or all of our services. You will always be warmly received. We are explaining on our radio program this month why we do not do certain things. This morning, we want to ask the question, why we withdraw from the unfaithful. When a member of the church becomes unfaithful and persists in that sin, the church withdraws from him. We do not withdraw at the first moment he sins. Action to withdraw comes only after it is evident that the person is not repenting. Several attempts are usually made to talk with the person and plead for their repentance. In time, we communicate to the person, often in the form of a letter, telling them that we will withdraw from them at a set time if no repentance has been forthcoming. Then a statement is made before the congregation that we are withdrawing from the brother or sister who persists in sin. From that point on, other members do not socialize with that person in an effort to bring them to repentance. When this is done, questions and charges are often made. Someone will charge that we are kicking them out of the church. Such is not the case. The question will be raised, how could you mistreat people this way? Others will urge that we should have shown love and concern instead of withdrawing. Some even get the ideal in their head that we are asking them not to even attend services. This is mean and hateful, someone will be sure to say. All such charges are based on a misunderstanding of what withdrawing is and why it is done. There are two main passages in the Bible that deal with this subject. The first one is in 1 Corinthians 5. The entire chapter is devoted to a discussion in the need for church discipline in the city of Corinth. The situation in verse 1 and 2. There was a fornicator in the church that had not repented of his sin. The church had done little or nothing about it. Thus, Paul addresses their need to withdraw from the unrepentant fornicator. In the instruction in verse 3 through 13, the divine instruction was to put him away from among them in verse 3 and 4 and verse 13. The purpose was twofold according to verses 5 through 8. First, it is to save the brother who is guilty of the sin in verse 5. Secondly, it was done to keep the church pure in verses 6 through 8. The instruction included not to keep company with the one who is disciplined in verses 9 through 13. The word company literally means to mix up together with, a description of socializing. That is to be withheld in an offer to bring them to repentance. The conclusion? From this chapter we have to conclude the following. Ignoring the unfaithful is wrong. Doing nothing about the sinner doesn't please God, or does it save the sinner? Withdrawing is an effort to save them, a last resort effort. Does it work? When the church at Corinth finally acted, it brought the brother to repentance. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 2. The other passage that deals with this subject is 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 15. This chapter concerns a problem with some unfaithful at Thessalonica. In the situation is described in verse 7 through 13, some had taught a doctrine that the second coming of Christ was imminent and it was about to happen. Thus, some had quit working in verses 7 through 12 and become busybodies according to verse 11 and 12. This behavior was described as walking disorderly in verse 6. In verse 6 through 6 and verse 14 and 15, the instruction is given. The divine instruction was to withdraw from those who walk disorderly in verse 6. To do so, the person must be identified, verse 14, If you're going to withdraw your fellowship from someone, you need to know who that person is. Part of the carrying out of the instruction included not keeping company with the one who was being disciplined in verse 14. Their dealing with the brother was not to treat him as an enemy, but he was to be treated as a brother whom they were admonishing to repent and to do better in verse 15. The conclusion from this chapter is we must conclude that withdrawing is a command. When we withdraw, it is an effort to bring them to repentance, verse 14. When such action is taken, this is not mistreatment or being unkind or even treating them like an enemy. It is seeking to save this soul. With these two passages as a basis for answering our question, let us consider three basic reasons why we withdraw from the unfaithful. Number one, because the authority of Christ commands us to do so. We are under the authority of Christ. According to Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19, Christ has all authority in heaven and earth. We must abide by that authority, according to Colossians 3, verse 17, that whatever we do in word or deed, we must do by His authority. Thus, we are obliged to withdraw from the unfaithful, since Christ commands us to do so. Specifically in the text that we just studied, both texts specifically mention the authority of Christ in connection with the instruction to withdraw. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord." 1 Corinthians 5:4-5. The instruction to the Thessalonians in Thessalonica was, "But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which you have received from us." 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. You see, in both passages, it is authorized and commanded by God. We withdraw from the unfaithful to obey our Lord. Whether or not we see anything else accomplished, it will accomplish what God had told us to do, and that is to seek to bring the man or woman to repentance and to keep the church pure. The second reason we withdraw is to bring the unfaithful to repentance. The goal should always be to restore the erring. In James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, we're told that we need to seek the sinner to try to cover his sin. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, "If a man is overtaken in a fault, ye which is spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Rather than ignoring the erring by not saying anything or acting like everything is fine, we should show love and concern by encouraging them to change according to God's word. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 2. Withdrawing is designed to produce repentance. The brother at Corinth was to be dealt with that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 5. Those at Thessalonica were to withdraw from such so that they might be ashamed. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 14. And we know, according to 2 Corinthians 2, that it works. Quite often someone will ask if we know of a case when withdrawing ever brought a person back to the Lord. Sure we do. The fornicator at Corinth, among a number of cases in our own time, the church had taken the action that Paul had instructed in 1 Corinthians 5. Paul later wrote, "The punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, so that on the contrary, you ought to rather forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him." 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 and 8. When we withdraw from a brother, it brings him to shame. 2 Thessalonians 3:14. It causes him to think about his sin. When other brethren refuse to socialize with him, he comes to realize that something is missing. 1 Corinthians 5:9-13. That is by God's design. This is to help the brother come to repentance. One reason church discipline doesn't work more often is that we defeat it from the start by not withholding the socializing. We reason that it doesn't apply to family or close friends, and thus continue to have a social relation with the person, even though they are a brother who is walking disorderly. Thinking we are helping him, we are only causing him to remain away. We, in other words, have become an enabler. Here they are here the very people who could bring him to shame by not keeping company with him are hindering the process by acting like everything is normal and okay. The other reason that we do discipline is to keep the church pure. God wants his church to be pure. Paul wrote that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5:26-27. If sin is not corrected, it corrupts the whole church. The Corinthians were warned that a little leaveneth the whole lump. 1 Corinthians 5:6. When sin goes unchecked, others may begin to do the same action. To say at least, when another guilty of the same sin, it is difficult to encourage him to repent when others are doing the same and nothing is being done to them. Withdrawing takes away the unfaithful. After the above warning, Paul wrote, "Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us." 1 Corinthians 5:7. By identifying withdrawing from the one who persists in sin, the purity of the church is maintained. Paul closed his instruction to the Corinthians by saying, "Put away from yourself the evil person," in verse 13. It causes others to fear. When others see that sin is not being tolerated, it makes them realize that their sin will be dealt with too. When they see that those who continue in sin are no longer part of the group that the faithful keep company with, 1 Corinthians 5:9-13, they will think twice about their own sin. Though not a case of withdrawing, the situation with Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5, lying about their contribution and suffering death as a consequence, illustrates our point. When others saw that they didn't get away with their sin, the text says, "So great fear came upon the church and upon all who heard these things," in verse 11. The gravest misunderstanding about withdrawing fellowship from the erring is understanding that it is an act of love. It's not an act of hate. It's not an act of unkindness. It's not a lack of being long-suffering. It is a last resort. It's when everything else has failed. When a brother or sister goes back into the world, living a life that is contrary to God's will, living and abiding in sin, unwilling to repent, unwilling to change the course that they are pursuing, and unwilling to get out of that lifestyle, then they are in danger of spiritual eternity separated from God. They need to have something to shake them up. That's why we withdraw, to make them ashamed of their behavior, for them to consider the cost they're going to pay if they persist in remaining in sin. And one of the things that we do is that we continue to love them, we continue to seek to encourage them whenever we're in their presence, and we seek to bring about their repentance that they might make their life right with God. Ladies and gentlemen, withdrawing from the unfaithful is not easy. It is not comfortable, and it is very difficult. But to not do so would even be worse. How can we let that person drift off into eternity separated from God and not do anything to try to bring them to their spiritual senses? Withdrawing is commanded by God. Thank you for listening this morning, and remember our TV program at 8 o'clock. Thank you.